Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast, here to help inspire and plan your family's next big adventure. Kiki's Big Adventures all started with the award-winning picture book series starring Kiki, the globe-trotting cat, exploring the world's diverse places, people, and cultures. I'm Shannon, the author and creator of Kiki's Big Adventures. Moms and families loved the books and asked for help planning their own adventures, so the podcast was created to help. Adventure awaits! I'm very excited about today's episode on the podcast. We are going to take a trip to Switzerland, which is somewhere we've never had anybody on about. So I'm very excited to welcome Emily to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Shannon. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us a little about yourself.
I'm a nonprofit executive, a consultant based in Florida. I work a lot in the humanitarian relief space, but more importantly, I'm a mom of a now 8-year-old that my husband, Paul, and I took on this wonderful trip to Switzerland last summer.
I have to say, Emily's pictures, when you see them, they are just amazing. Typically, people think of Switzerland as skiing and a winter paradise, which it absolutely is. Yeah. But it is clearly, from your summer adventure, an amazing summer destination.
It really is a great summer destination. I think the other thing I want your listeners to understand, which was news to me, is it's not just a place for elite athletes and mountain climbers, which in my mind, it kind of always was. There's a way for quote unquote normal people and families in particular to enjoy the outdoors there and enjoy the mountains.
And you did.
Yes.
So how long did you go for?
I guess our trip was probably a total of 8 days. We flew from Tampa into Zurich. But the minute we hit Zurich, we hopped on a train and went to Lucerne. We had no time to waste, and we thought that'd be a good kind of recovery day. Spend a little time in the city there before heading into the Bernese Oberland region, which is where the Alps are that we were attempting to enjoy.
Attempting to enjoy. I like that a lot. So where did you go? What did you do? How did you find out about all of this stuff?
So it's kind of a funny story. I think we could classify this as COVID revenge travel a little bit. So when we had Ollie, we always wanted to do our part to make him a global citizen and quite honestly kind of expand our adult understanding of the world as well and to travel. And we got to do a little bit of that before COVID, but obviously we were homebound for a couple of years there. And I'm thankful for that time at home. We actually did really well during COVID, but we definitely had a sense of wanting to get back out and starting to explore the world. In May, I had to go to Geneva for work. It killed me every day to walk down the street and see in the distance the mountaintops on a clear day. You could see them. And I had a colleague that took the trip just about an hour or so to Chamonix into France to go up the mountain, Aiguille du Midi. And they sent me the pictures of what they saw. And I thought, oh my gosh, I have to make a way back here and I have to do it quickly. I quickly started to assemble travel plans for the summer. My husband and son ended up getting COVID. I thought, there's no way we're going now. But we kind of made a last minute decision once they got over it. We found flights that were less expensive than they had been, but still very expensive. Direct flights. And I thought, okay, it's a direct flight in the travel of summer where that was a big thing. You didn't want to get stuck anywhere. So we went ahead and went for it. But so it was inspired by my childhood and young adult knowledge of interest in mountaineering and all how all that works and thinking of the Alps as like the ultimate place to go. But also just being cooped up from COVID, I think we were ready to hit the road.
Well, and it was just beautiful looking at your pictures. You're just outdoors with these mountains. But when you think of a mountain, I think of U.S. mountains. These are not like tiny mountains. They're huge. And you guys hiked. And Ollie's...
Yeah, he was seven.
He was seven. Yeah.
I was not worried about him. I was worried about us. So we're from Florida, where it's very flat. I'm a plus size gal. I thought this is going to be a real challenge. And it was, but in a very inspiring way. I mean, it is hard not to fall in love with the vastness of the landscape there. I don't think my pictures capture it. I have a hard time explaining what it was like, but very inspiring. I think that the Alps are more accessible to families and to non-mountaineers, if you will, than people might realize. And I'm excited to kind of share a little bit about that and how we found out where we wanted to
go
and what we wanted to do.
Let's do it.
All right. When we quickly decided to go to the Alps, we had a narrow window because of work schedules and that kind of thing. we found our inspiration from a few different places. I'm of the age where I listen to Rick Steves. You know, I look to him for some guidance. But I found another podcast, my second favorite podcast. Obviously, this is my first.
Thank you.
The second favorite podcast, which is called Swiss Family Fun. And actually, it's a website. They have a lot of good materials there. And it gave us great inspiration for day hikes that we could do. So we, as I mentioned, we flew into Zurich, immediately took the train to Lucerne, and then we headed to Grindelwald in the Bernese Oberland region, and we stayed there for 3 nights. We like to be based in one place to kind of get a sense for the community, and I wish we could have done that the whole time, because we did get a little bit hurried and frantic at the end. Of our general timeline, we spent 3 days there, and then we went on to Zermatt, so we could see the Matterhorn, and then we finished a day in Chamonix, and then back to Geneva, actually, and flew home from Geneva. So we did a big horseshoe, if you will, of the region, and that worked out really well for us.
Cool.
Yeah.
So then, basically, on the trip, did you just hike every day?
Yeah, so I think this was like the perfect trip where we had the creature comforts at night of decent hotels. And we then during the day, we just played outside. So I could tell you nothing about any of the towns that we stayed in, probably. I'm sure that like Zermatt's a perfect example. I'm sure there's amazing things to do there. I couldn't tell you about them because we spent the whole time hiking and that's just the way that we wanted it. The first hike we went on was the Panorama Trail in Manelikon to Kleinsteig. It's about a 5K hike and it's very flat, but has beautiful views. One thing I will mention for anybody traveling, it would be really hard to reach these hikes or to see the vistas if you were afraid of heights. I mean, like extremely afraid of heights. It might be a little bit rough for you, so just be aware. Because we did, well, the most Florida thing you could do when you come from someplace flat, and we often took gondolas up to the top of the mountain and hiked directionally down. And that worked out really well in our favor. And a lot of the hikes that the Swiss Family Fund website kind of were designed that way. I think it's a little easier for children.
That's cool.
As well.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So we did that. The Panorama Trail was great. One of the things, if you're traveling with children to Switzerland, especially in the Alps, one of the things to really relish is their amazing playgrounds. And this trail has an amazing, huge, I'll give you a picture of it. I guess it's an ox or a cow, like built-in slide playground, the whole thing on this top of the mountain where you're looking around and see these most beautiful views. So there was a lot of fun things for kids to do along the way. And that was a really pleasant hike. We did on the scheduling in Grindelwald that weekend, there were these ultra marathons going on. And so maybe my scheduling wasn't great because part of the trail we were on were used by those folks, but it was also very inspiring to see people of all ages going straight up mountains. They were on like hour 20 of whatever they were doing. So it's kind of interesting to see that as well.
Wow. And so what did you do about gear too? Did you guys pack hiking boots and stuff?
Yes. We each took one pair of normal shoes. What for me, that was sandals. And then we took our hiking boots. We took day packs and water bottles. The one thing we struggled with is that we knew we wanted hiking poles. We knew that that was going to be important because there were undulations in the elevation. And even on the days where we were hiking down, there were some really steep sections. And we were doing carry-ons, and so it was a little difficult. You actually can't carry your hiking poles through TSA. Will not let you, usually let you through.
Yeah, well, that kind of makes sense.
So we went ahead and purchased those there. But everything else we brought with us, I mean, part of our kind of daily outdoor gear that we had with us, we're big fans of using field pants or hiking pants with lots of pockets. You know, we were prepared. The one thing we were maybe not prepared for was the heat. I was really looking forward to escaping to not a winter wonderland, but something a little cooler. And quite frankly, it wasn't. And obviously in Europe, there's not a lot of air conditionings in the hotels and that kind
of thing. Yeah, you hit so when it was.
It was like a heat wave. Yeah. So maybe we wore a long sleeve shirt one day. Sun protection was super important to us as well. You're just that much closer to the sun there. But so packing wise, we packed lightly. That was very helpful because we went everywhere by train. And that's one of the beautiful things about Switzerland is that their train system is amazing. It truthfully is on time. In other countries I've traveled, I've had to spend a lot of time pre-planning exchanges and where I would transfer. If you miss your train, you're stuck there a day. That was not the case here. There were some days we barely looked at a train schedule. We knew something would be coming in 5 or 10 minutes that would ultimately take us to where we wanted to go.
Okay, so you're in Grindelwald?
We're in Grindelwald. We did the Panorama Trail. The next day, we did something a little touristy, and we went to the Jungfrau Jock. This is a gondola plus train ride up the Eiger Express that takes you to the top of the Altötsch Glacier. And this is the longest glacier in Switzerland. It was beautiful, and it was amazing. And there's a lot of things to do for kids. Inside the mountain when you get up there, they have an ice palace inside. They have all sorts of interesting things to see inside. We spent the balance of our time outside in the snow. Again, Florida kid was very, very interested in this. At the top of the mountain, they have a snow park outside, so he could do some sledding. My kid was afraid of heights, but apparently they're not. He did an amazing zip line across the glacier. I couldn't believe it. Hundreds of feet up in the air. The risk taking there is a little different than in the United States. I think that's really great for growth mindset in children and adults.
Absolutely.
So we spent a beautiful day hiking to get better views of the glacier. That's the one area where we might have had a little bit of altitude struggles for me inside the mountain as you're riding up the Cogwheel. I didn't feel great, but the minute I was outside in fresh air, it was like good to go. So that was a fun day for us. We had planned to hike down, but frozen toes and spending a little extra time playing in the snow kind of made for a long day for us. So that's where we ended that one.
But so then you could just take
the gondola back down.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really great. Again, it was very touristy, but I think it's kind of a must do when you're there.
A glacier. Like who gets to go to see a glacier? That's amazing.
One of my favorite things in Grindelwald was actually the hotel we stayed at. And this is on my list of things maybe I didn't do so well. So I mentioned before that I have a propensity to look at like Rick Steves or some other websites for guidance. And those websites generally are not focused on children, right? So this hotel that we stayed at was lovely, family owned, I think fifth generation, center of town, and very well placed next to the Fierce gondola, which we'll talk about in a minute on our Death by Trotty Bike Day. But this hotel actually didn't allow children, and I didn't know that. I didn't recognize that. And this is something I just, for anybody that is traveling with children, one of the consistent challenges we ran into is that the hotels there, you're not going to likely find a king bed. You're more likely to find two twins, that kind of thing. And if you did find a family room, which would have three beds in it or two beds and a couch, they would be double the price. And we were booking quite last minute. So in some cases, we decided not to do that. We decided to get a two bed room. And our 7-year-old, we thought, why are we going to pay double the price when he's going to end up in our bed in the middle of the night anyways?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
We'll make it work. We're not in the hotel room. So when we arrived, they were quite surprised to see we had a kid in tow. They were very gracious about it. They, you know, charged us extra, did what they did. But it was really put the pressure on my 7-year-old because I'm like, you are staying in a place where they don't allow children. He did great. They were lovely to him. If he came down in the morning for breakfast, they knew his name. They knew his order. It worked out really, really
That's
well.
That's amazing. Yeah.
But just so one little thing there. It is a little more difficult, I think, to find hotels that have the right bed configurations for families. But we had a lovely time there. And they were located directly across from the opening where you get on the gondolas to go up to Fierce. And Fierce is interesting. This region of the Alps, they speak German. We went up to that. It's beautiful up there. There's a neat kind of skywalk you can walk on. There's fun stuff to do up there. But the true reason we did this was not just the hiking to have fun, but also to ride the trotty bikes down. And if anybody's if anybody's unfamiliar with a trotty bike, imagine something the size, more of the size of a bike, but functions like a scooter, okay? So you're only taking it downhill. There's no pedaling, but it has big wheels. And it was hilarious. A lot of people do this for sightseeing. I can tell you that I did not sightsee at all because I was too busy making sure I wasn't running into a hay tractor coming up the hill or wiping out completely. My husband and daredevil son zoomed ahead. It's quite hilarious. By the end of the ride, I had it. My legs were shaking, but it's a must do. It's fun for the kids. And there's trotty bikes almost on every mountain that you'll find. It's a more fun and interesting way to come down the mountain than the gondola ride you went up on.
Okay. And there's a path that you go on-ish?
In this case, you're on a road.
Okay, yeah, you're on a road. Okay.
And like I said, it was hay season there. So hay tractors around curves were probably our biggest challenges. But I called that day, we attempted death by trotty bike.
Sounds like it. But you lived through it.
We lived through it. And Holly would tell you it was probably his most fun. And then we took off and went by train and we headed to Zermatt. We stayed at a hotel there, which we really loved. I call it a very sheep-forward hotel.
Sheep-forward.
It was branded their sheep wallpaper, their sheep soap. The owners of the hotel apparently have quite a large flock. It was called the Europe Hotel and Spa. Right in the center of town. By the time we got there, because we'd done so much activity during the day, we just had a quiet evening and ate in a restaurant, which was delicious. We went ahead and did fondue. I think we might have been the only people in Switzerland doing fondue because of how hot it was outside. But we felt
that went in Switzerland.
Yeah, it's a beautiful view of the Matterhorn. I was not particularly looking forward to Zermatt the same way that I was looking forward to Grindelwald. But we ended up having our best day and most inspiring hike. we did the Gornergrat hike from Rotenboden down to Riflesee, and you have a view of the Matterhorn the whole time. And so, like so many things when you're on a mountain, it's all weather dependent, right? What you see, how much you enjoy it. The very beginning of our hike, the weather was beautiful. The Matterhorn was not clouded in. They do encourage you to start earlier in the day because you're likely to get clouds in the afternoon. The very beginning of this hike was very steep and there are cliffs off the side. And so we had a good talk with our 7-year-old.
Seriously, Ollie, yeah. Come on.
You have to listen and here's what's going on. It was a great hike for me personally because it was very technical. And I mean, it's not mountain climbing, right? But it was technical in the sense that you were scrambling over rocks all the way down. So you really had to concentrate on where you're putting your feet and what you're doing. And actually that was great for me. That makes the up and down much easier. It was really a lot of fun and had the most beautiful views. And I felt like we walked through so many different things. Like we saw glaciers, we went through lakes, we saw rock formations. My son found his echo for the first time, you know, just all these really fun things on this hike. And then the path runs very near a train the whole time, right? You can see it in the distance, you're not that far off. And it crosses every once in a while, that train line. So if you get into trouble, you could always take the train. So we did that longer hike and then we hopped on the train to finish it out. It was a beautiful, beautiful hike. The one thing I will mention, and maybe this isn't the case for all families, again, maybe it's because we're coming from Florida and we took lots of breaks, but all the hikes that, I don't know, but they took us longer. If it said it would be a 2-hour hike, it definitely was going to be a 3-hour hike for us. But we did take our time to play and build rock sculptures and find our echo and take lots of Nutella breaks or whatever we needed to do to keep going.
The lake pictures were just amazing.
Yeah, it was really neat. It's so amazing that these things exist. And I will also mention that part of my inspiration for wanting to go in the mountains was also to like get away from screens and what have you. However, the Swiss, I was getting like 5G on the top of 12,000 foot mountains. But that ended up being my favorite day. It was the most physical for us, which would give us a sense of accomplishment, but the vistas were just amazing. And we spent that night again in Zermatt. And the next day we headed to Chamonix for a day.
Okay. And we'll have all of this in the show notes.
So the Chamonix was interesting. So I really felt like we're this close to another country. Why not give Ollie that experience? I speak a little bit of French, or thought I did, until I...
until you get there.
Until you get there. If you were to ask my son, he would say like, no way. She doesn't... I think one day I...
Bonjour.
I ordered a potato juice instead of apple juice or something. And it was a big laugh. The good news is, like in many places in Europe, everybody accommodated your English speaking. And one of the things I love about traveling with children is that they're clearly not as inhibited as we are as adults. And so Ollie took great pleasure in ordering his own food. And I think he ate Swiss chocolate ice cream pretty much twice a day everywhere we were. And he would go up and handle the vendors themselves and do really great. So it was really nice that way. But we were that close to Chamonix and I really wanted to check it out. I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, Shannon, that I was in Geneva for work. And that a colleague had popped over the border and taken pictures. And what that colleague brought back were pictures from the Aiguille du Midi. And again, it's another kind of gondola and cogwheel ride up to a beautiful view of Mont Blanc. And I thought, okay, well, this inspired the trip. We absolutely have to do this. And it was great. I mean, it was very touristy, but we did it. If I had to do it again, train ride to Chamonix was not quite as seamless as our other train stops had been, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see. But if I had to do it again, because we had done the Jungfrau Jock, which was similar, I don't know that I would have done this again.
Okay.
We did enjoy spending time in Chamonix. It was a rainy day, but we walked around. And if you're an outdoor person, just even the outdoor gear stores alone, it's like going to Disney World for you.
Oh,
you
my
know?
Gosh.
So it was kind of interesting to do that and experience Chamonix.
So you just did a day trip? To Chamonix
we
from?
We spent one night there.
Okay, you spent a night.
We spent
okay.
one night there. And the next day when we woke up, we went to the Aiguille du Midi. And I just figured we're probably never going to be the people that hike Mont Blanc. So this is our way to see it. Also, you could add on to your trip and very easily end up being in Italy as well. I wish we had more days there. It just was very touristy and a little too similar to the Jungfrau Jock. Different views, but similar gondola ride. The gondola ride up there was amazing and super steep. And also, I would say it was a feat of amazing engineering. When you see that you're going on a single line, it blew my mind, to be honest with you,
wow.
that this is even possible. In some ways, that was worth the trip as well. Again, it was beautiful, beautiful vistas, mountains as far as you can see. But what fed my soul was being on the mountains and hiking. And I might have added one more day of doing that. From Chamonix, it's very easy to get to Geneva, either by bus or by car. We ended up taking the train just because we had the Swiss Family Pass and it made it affordable to do so. And that's one thing I want to mention too on the tips and tricks is that you really do have to figure out if you need to buy day passes for the trains or if you should buy the family pass in which kids travel free. The other benefit of the family pass is that all of these mountaintops that we took a cogwheel to or took a gondola to, they're quite expensive. And oftentimes you get 50% off if you have a rail pass.
Oh, that's great.
So it's something to consider when you're budgeting for this type of a trip. But anyways, we headed to Geneva for the night and we did explore that city. That's very easy to do by foot. Very, very fun. And made sure we did all our chocolate tasting and buying the next morning before heading back on a direct flight.
Gosh, you guys did a lot in 8 days.
We did. And I will say that I'm a go, go, go type of person. As I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, we liked being in one place for 3 days. But to accomplish everything we wanted to accomplish in different regions, we had to do that. Stay one night at a hotel and move on. I wish we had one day of rest in there. My son at the end said, can we have one day where we don't walk as much? We were like walking his little legs off. And let's admit it, little people, they don't just walk a straight line. They zigzag. My son was parkouring off the rocks. So we probably walked twice as far as we did. So one day of pure enjoyment in a city, maybe I would add to the end, or if we had an additional day, we would have done that. But it truthfully was the best vacation I've ever been on. I've never seen my husband unplug in that way. And I think it's just purely the super inspiring surroundings. I will mention too that it was a great conversation starter with our young one about protection of the environment. We talk about climate change. We talk about many different things. Well, you're standing at a glacier. That's very real and very physical. And I was taken aback by it. So now when we're talking about these concepts that can seem a little theoretical or abstract, we can go immediately back to what you enjoyed in nature and why it's worth protecting that.
So incredible. And it sounds like Ali did really well with food. I think maybe Switzerland, you might be concerned about what the kids could eat.
Grindelwald is a bit of a touristy area. To my chagrin, they would have kids menus that would have things like chicken fingers on them. The best meal he had actually was in Zermatt. It was a French-inspired meal and he loved it, onion soup and everything else. I have since done a little bit more research and I think 2 or 3 weeks after we were there, Rick Steves went on vacation there.
I saw that.
And he updated his stuff. And he was staying basically one town away from everywhere we were. And I think you get off the beaten track a little bit more. So I think there's opportunities to do that. When you travel with children, for me, there is a comfort in knowing that you're in a town that has what you need. If you need a doctor, if you 100%. Need a pharmacy, if what have you. And so that was the right decision for us. The next time we go back, we'll probably go a little bit off the beaten path. The one thing I really want to try that we didn't have the time to do this time is that there are mountain huts. So you can hike from hut to hut and stay in these. They're not shelters. They're more like a hotel with basic amenities. They're not really a hotel either. They're somewhere in between. It's not primitive camping, but it's not hoteling either. And I think that would be an amazing experience for us to do.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, Emily, amazing trip. Thank you for all the details.
Yes.
I know you had a lot of tips. Did you cover everything?
I think I mainly did. Again, just to say the Alps can be for everybody. There are hikes and amenities that fit all ages and abilities. So if you thought about it, but you weren't sure about it, I would definitely research it. It's very possible to get out and do the hikes that we did. The playgrounds are abundant. They have the best playgrounds in the world. We planned some of our hikes around the playgrounds they would end at.
That's so cool.
I think that, again, the rail travel is the way to go. It was great for kids. It was very easy. Oftentimes, we're the only people on the trains. The trains are super reliable. This can be an expensive trip. Switzerland is known for price. It was expensive for us because of our last minute planning. But I think with the right planning, looking at the right rail cards, et cetera, you could definitely do this in an affordable way. Again, be mindful of the accommodations and trying to find what will fit your family the best.
Incredible. So Emily, you touched on it as we went, and I love the environmental piece of it. Why do you think it's important to travel with Ollie, with your kids?
Well, I think that it's very easy for us to become centric in our thinking, not understand the plight or positions of other people, not only internationally, just sometimes even in our own country. So I want to make him aware of the world that's out there. I want to make myself more aware. It wasn't until I got involved in humanitarian relief that my understanding of geopolitical and social issues expanded. I want him to experience the same kind of thing. I want him to be inspired by travel. I want him to know there's more out there. And I would love for him to learn from other cultures. And hopefully he'll be a lifelong traveler and love the experience. I have to say we're blessed. He's a very easy traveler, like the type of kid that does the direct flight. You land there at 3 a.m, your previous time, and you hit the ground running, and he does really well with it. I know that's not everybody's case, but I feel like the more travel you do, the earlier you do it, then you end up with a travel-hardy child.
Exactly. Yeah. They just roll with it.
They roll with it.
So, yeah, getting them started.
I don't know where we're going to go next. I have no idea.
I was going to say, what's next to you? What are you dreaming about?
I said to my husband, we were on top of the mountains. I was like, I honestly am not sure anything will please me after this. You know, it was just so inspiring. It is. You can bet that it will be something that involves some type of outdoor component. All of us like to be free and have that freedom and get away from the hustle and bustle, but also have the creature comforts at night. So we'll see. There's definitely other parts of Europe I'd like to travel to.
You also have an idea for around Thanksgiving. I like that idea.
Yeah. So we were just talking about taking a small trip up to Boston and following in the footsteps of some of our history, explaining some of the rights and wrongs of that. I used to work for the cranberry industry. So I spent a lot of time in Massachusetts in the cranberry growing region. So we're talking about taking a quick trip up on our family vacation time for Thanksgiving, visiting Plymouth Rock. There's just so few cities like that in the United States that are so rich with history. And let's be honest, I've made this poor kid listen to Hamilton soundtrack so often. He knows a lot of history. If I can find him some Revolutionary War things, he might enjoy it. We'll see.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, we'll have to have you back again to talk about that.
Well, thanks so much. And thanks for your books for inspiring this level of travel. We love Kiki. We took Kiki with us to the top of the mountains.
And, such fabulous pictures.
Yeah,
thanks.
Kiki was a great travel companion. Did not complain. No, a little stiff.
Just a little stiff.
That's fine.
Soon we'll have a plush you can take with you.
There you go. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for having me on and for inspiring travel for families.
Thank you, Emily.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us on the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast. Visit the episode webpage for all the details from today and lots more travel planning resources. We look forward to traveling with you on the next episode. Adventure awaits!